church history.
I think this is class number 129, I believe, somewhere around there. We're reading the debate between Dr. Benjamin Marcus Bogard and Amy Semple McPherson. And I showed you a little bit of this. This is Amy McPherson's book that she wrote, This Is That. I'm going to bring it up here to the camera. It's a signed copy. There's a picture of her there. And it's, see how big this book is? It's almost 800 pages. Almost 800 pages. Now, this is Ben Bogard, The Life and Works of Benjamin Marcus Bogard, Pillars of Orthodoxy. This is Dr. Bogard right there. He, I'm going to get it up there in the thing. You see it. He was quite a brilliant teacher and basically the founder of the seminary in Little Rock, Arkansas. One of the founding founders of the American Baptist Association. He wrote many books. Let's see. There's one up here someplace that I wanted to show to you. Here's one of the books that he wrote, The Golden Key to Bible Analysis, right here. The Golden Key to Bible Analysis. He wrote many. He was a prolific teacher, writer, and speaker, pastor. He even made a Guinness Book of World Records. And you believe it or not, that he preached 65 years in a row without missing a Sunday service in 65 years. That's quite an accomplishment. Now, Amy McPherson did a lot of good things in her time down in Los Angeles for the community. She helped homeless and people that were starving during the Depression. She gave out food, clothing, things like that. She did a lot of good things like that, a lot of good things. So did Al Capone. Al Capone was voted at one time Man of the Year in Chicago. He had soup kitchens. He gave soup out. He did all kinds of stuff. He helped so many of the entertainers in the Cotton Club and things back there. He helped so many people all over. And it was very hard to convict him of anything. He said he was only doing what people wanted. He was selling bootleg whiskey and beer and stuff. Well, Amy McPherson, she was a heretic. She taught heresy. But she was, as far as a person goes, down in Los Angeles, she really helped a lot of people down there. I'm not trying to take away from her. She founded the Four Square Church, and which became Calvary Chapel, the fastest growing church in America and in the world. But the problem with all of that, I am so thankful when they preach the gospel, part of it. They don't preach the whole gospel. They preach enough, I hope, for people to be saved and born again. They have no authority to baptize anybody, though they do. Ben Bogard, in that book here, Pillars of Orthodoxy, the man was one of the soundest preachers of all time. I have taught his students have taught me. One in Mississippi one time, or Alabama, I can't remember. Alabama, Mississippi, they're all together there in one little area in Louisiana. One of his students that knew Dr. Bogard and everything, he was a very old man. He was at a church back there in Mississippi, I think it was. Or Alabama, maybe Alabama. It was a Missionary Baptist church. One of the students, Troy, I sent them hundreds of DVDs for their students, for the church to listen to, because most churches don't preach doctrine or any basic biblical studies. I teach it all. They got back there, and this old fellow told Troy, He said, you know, Ben Bogard, J. Lewis Guthrie, they taught what this man teaches, but he went further than they did. That was the greatest compliment that I ever got in my life. He went further than they did in teaching the depths of God's Word. I'm thankful for that, although I'm not worthy of it by any means. Now we're going to go in and we're going to listen to Amy rebut what Dr. Bogard says. These will be out there on sermon audio, and they'll be out on YouTube with Discover the Word with Dr. Jim, and on discovertheword.com. These messages, I hope, will clear up people's minds of what they believe and how they believe and what to believe. The whole title of the whole message is our church history and the evolution of theology, but it's why I am a Baptist. Why I am a Baptist, and are you a Baptist? Are you really a Baptist? Even though you go to a Baptist church, is that Baptist church a Baptist church? From the foundations and the orthodoxy that I have brought to you, I hope that you will be able to figure that out. What basic Baptist churches are. What they are. Many churches say they're Baptist, are not Baptist at all. We're going to start with Amy here now. She's going to answer Ben Bogard. Perhaps I have not been fully instructed in the method of debates in the South. I have read a number of rules on debates, and those rules set forth, first, the affirmative should state their position, then the negative should state their position. Then should come the rebuttal. I don't know whether Dr. Bogard has some other style or not. Bogard had done hundreds of debates. He knew exactly what debate he was. I find myself in a quandary. I listened to Dr. Bogard. I have tried to follow him very closely. I noticed the first time I heard him speaking over the radio, he said if anyone was healed, naturally, he hoped there would not be, but if they were, it proved the person who prayed was of the devil. Then I heard him say that he prayed for the sick. Oh, Dr. Bogard. The only possible explanation of that is that he prayed but did not expect them to get well. I would like to bring out one thought before beginning my rebuttal. He said I should stick to the Bible, then it would be impossible for me to prove the miracles continued after the Bible. I have covered from the very beginning to the close of the Bible days that then took from the Bible the days of AD 100 right down to through, and because I named one Catholic priest, he argues about that, and he didn't say anything about A.B. Simpson, A.J. Gordon, or Dr. Frank Mayo, the origin of the Mayo brothers who recognized this power of Christ in the present day to heal the sick. The Episcopal Church called a committee of which three were physicians, and a Christian healing by the clergy was discussed, and the board and physicians brought in the the report that the Christian healing is not a fad but devout practice of many. Second, divine healing cannot be questioned, says Dr. Frank Mayo, by any unprejudiced man. Third, its results are found to be sure and fat and lasting. Now then, us to some of the questions. First of all, it was stated that the practices of the Old Testament should continue on through time if healing continued. This is hardly worth answering. Christ said, and so did the apostles, that the blood of bulls and goats and heifers offered up to the time of the cross, but Christ shed his blood to take away the sins of the world, and no more bulls and rams have got to be slaughtered after that time. However, the healings did not continue. We find in James 5:14 at the end of the Bible handing down instructions for men of all times to pray for the sick. James 5:14, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. James 5:13. You can pray for yourself. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders, let them pray over him. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And then again he says, by what authority did I pray, not being an elder? And I came in under the next verse where it was said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, and that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I am one of them. I can pray for sick folks. I can pray. The elders can pray. And one can pray for one another. And a mother can pray for her child. And it is not restricted to the elders. As for the broken man, mule's leg. I remember one time a mule kicked and injured his foot. And we prayed that night. And after a few days, the mule was well. It was a small incident. My son was 4.5 years old, and I had forgotten it. It made an impression on his young mind. He asked me if I had heard of a dead being raised. I have heard of folks being brought back. I've read in medicine journals. I've never personally experienced it. I have been too busy preparing for the living. I have never caught up to that yet. He said the devil can heal the sick. I've never read that the Bible, perhaps I missed it. If the devil is doing these works, then the devil is certainly changed, for men are crying out, have mercy on me, O God, and I have been a sinner, let me be born again. And they stop their cursing and swearing and are uniting with the church. Is this the work of the devil? As to the gifts that are to pass away in the 12th chapter of the 1 Corinthians, I remind you that the 12 gifts include wisdom. Wisdom has not passed away. Another is the gift of knowledge, and knowledge has not passed away. I'm going to exert something here. The gift of knowledge and wisdom has passed away. Knowledge and wisdom have not passed away, but the gift that you didn't have to learn it has passed away. One of these gifts is knowledge, and we read knowledge shall be increased, and shall not healing be increased? He says, and that's in the last days he's talking about. And he says, prophecy has been done away, and the Bible says that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, in the 9th verse of the 12th chapter of Corinthians. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, without faith all things are impossible. Why pick a divine healing? Why not take knowledge? He says that when that which is perfect has come, that which in part is passed away. We are looking for that day of perfection when the body shall be well and there will be no more diseases. I notice he speaks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is not the subject of debate. I feel that the people have a perfect right to say, stick to the subject. But I think, however, it would be perhaps not to be amiss to say one word. When he says that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was done away with, we are living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. It began on the day of Pentecost and continues until the second coming of Christ. Acts 2:38, we read, repent ye and baptize every one of you in the name of the Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto us and to your children, to all that are far, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Lord has called us, promised us the Holy Spirit, and God knows the church needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. He left out this verse in the beginning of the 14th chapter of Corinthians, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now about the sanatorium, Brother Beauregard said, when I was ill, I went to the sanatorium. I am living in a human body. I don't know how much work Dr. Beauregard has done for 18 years. I have had one vacation. I broke God's law, 6 days thou shalt work, and work every day through the year. I preached and taught my school an average of 21 times a week. I edited a weekly paper. I brought the ground and built the Angelus Temple, seating 5,300 people, and raised the money without any help from a radio or Bible theological seminary. I raised the money to build 16 foreign mission stations and maintain 38 foreign missionaries. So I suffered a nervous breakdown. But when they thought my life was departed of that, put me back in a quiet little room in a sanatorium because my own home was filled. We had 17 electrical sewing machines making clothing. We fed over 2,000 unemployed and their families, and the noise was so great that I thought my life was despaired of, and they took me away, and the friends gathered and prayed to God that He not only raised me up and healed me, but given me such an overflow of strength that now I hardly get tired. I called you as my witness. I have not spared myself in your city. In this midnight hours I've carried on. We have found, if all else fails, that God answers prayer. And as John Wesley said, why wait to pray at the end of your affliction? I feel that the prayers of my people raise me up. He also says that if he does not answer these questions, that the people will know why. His question is, if other people refuse to call a doctor and believe in healing, why do you not practice that? I do every day of my life. I don't think of a woman could work as hard as I have except through the mighty power of God. His fourth question, since the gift of knowledge has passed away, according to 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, why do you claim to have direct inspiration from God? It is not stated that way. It says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That gift was put there to stay. Next question, in your book, Lost and Restored, page 4, you say that the booklet was given to me in a vision and prophecy under inspiration and the power of the Holy Ghost. If so, is that not an addition to God's Word? The first verse of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. What is it to prophesy? 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. If you've had added to the Bible, how do you escape the curse pronounced to those who add to God's Word? I have not added to it. You are taking from it. The Bible says that when your prayer is made for the sick and the elders of the church, you should be called in. Where do you find Scripture for calling the sick to the elder? In a public healing service. The Acts of the Apostles is filled with it. You take one instance where Peter and John prayed for the sick, and they came to them in every direction until no building could be found for them. Finally, they had the sick on the beds and couches in the streets until the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some. This wasn't the elders going to the people, since the elder or the bishop must be a husband of one wife. How in the world can you qualify as an elder or bishop, since you certainly cannot be a husband of all? I am not a bishop, never made such a claim, and only a handmaiden of the Lord. Now, bishop is a pastor, by the way. Episcopal is one that watches over the people. A mother can pray for her child. A husband can pray for his wife. Did you not say in your book, this and that, page 766, that God showed you a vision? And that you, Amy McPherson, was the bride of Christ. And that's in this book right here that I showed to you a while ago. Amy McPherson was the bride of Christ. What I said was this, that the church was the bride of Christ. We are many members of the body, where we be Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, or Episcopalians. When all that bridal party came up and reached the Lord, I saw myself taking the humble place at the foot thereof, and I know where you got that. Bob Schuller told it and talked so radically that the government had to get to him. If you are the bride of Christ, where do the rest of the saints and the Lord come in? No one person is the bride. We are all members of one body, and if we are washed in the blood of Jesus, if healing is in the atonement, then you have not fallen from grace when you get sick. Then haven't you fallen from grace when you get sick? I remember it says, who sinned, this man or his father? And Jesus said, this is for the glory of God. It's not for the glory of God to be sick, but to be healed. Since you are full of control of the four square churches and personally own the property and appoint the pastors over the congregations as you do it, when you establish the four square church in Little Rock, how do you miss disobeying the positive command of Matthew 20, 25, and 26, where it says, the princes among the Gentiles exercise dominion over you, but it shall not be so among you. If you do not have dominion over these four square churches, who has? The property was my own, and I incorporated it, and I do not own one square foot of ground on this whole world. Every bit of the money I have in this incorporation goes into the church work. And if I die tonight, I have but a few $100s. The board, incidentally, all men and every one of them has control of the property. I am only the pastor. The word pastor, by the way, means bishop. Why do you not heal the little Tackett boy who came with a paralyzed arm? His arm is no better. I have never said I could heal anyone, neither can I save anyone. Not everyone who comes to the altar is saved unless they cry out to the Lord. Why do you not heal the little girl who walked on the platform and took off her braces and showed the people how she could walk without them? Because I understand two preachers went to her mother and told her that divine healing was not for today and discouraged her. And it was the preacher's fault, the other preacher's fault, not the girl's and not hers. My time is up. I will try again later. Dr. Bogart's reply. Mrs. McPherson says that I said over the radio that those who prayed for the sick are of the devil, and that I then turned around and said that I prayed for the sick. Then she dramatically said, Oh, Dr. Bogart, is it enough to say that I never said any such thing at any time? But I did say that if a miracle is performed now, it is of the devil. The issue is not shall we pray for the sick, but shall we discard the use of medicine and physicians and depend entirely on a miracle being performed to cure the sick. I think Mrs. McPherson knows this and is the issue, and she seeks to confuse the minds of the hearers by such dramatic suggestions. She says she wants a history to prove the miracles have continued since the apostolic time because she could not prove it by the Bible. What a confession. But when she went to history for proof of it, the very witnesses she introduced also testify in favor of infant sprinkling, and at least one of them believed in purgatory, and some of them believed in the baptismal salvation, and others even believed in infant damnation. You can prove any absurdity by appealing to the surface, the history. I went into this debate believing that we were to take the Bible as our rule and not history. For that matter, you can get many to testify right now that they have been healed. Miss McPherson has such witnesses right here in the congregation. And there have been some of all ages who have so claimed. But that is only opinion of men. The Bible is our rule. And if they testify contrary to the Bible, their testimony is false. And no matter what history you read, it in or nor, who says it? Mrs. McPherson quotes Dr. Mayo, a famous surgeon, to prove that God heals the sick. Glad, she quoted, Dr. Mayo. Dr. Mayo and I are in agreement because he believes in praying for the sick and then doing all he can for the sick by giving medicine using surgery while he prays. But that is on the same principle as praying for the bread and then going to work to get the bread, not to sit down and wait for God to bring a miracle. She quoted John Wesley, who also used medicine along with his prayers. But suppose Mayo and Wesley and all the others believe that God still performs miracles. As Mrs. McPherson contends, we do not have to accept their opinions. The Bible is the rule of these of faith and practice, not these men's opinions. Mrs. McPherson's bungly effort to answer some of my questions was amusing. For instance, she said, if the gifts were done away with, as the Bible says they were, when the perfect thing has come, meaning the Bible was completed, then the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge and were done away, and she adds that she understands that knowledge would increase instead of being done away with. Ordinary knowledge has increased with the increase of education. But we know only what we have learned, but the gift of knowledge meant that one did not have to learn, but it would be imparted to him directly from heaven. Ordinary knowledge has increased, but the gift of knowledge has ceased. With all other gifts, except faith, hope, and love, these three, the Bible says. Mrs. McPherson says that all she does is to pray, and that she never claimed to have power to work miracles. But the proposition we are discussing says divine healing and miracles, as she has affirmed that these miracles continue to this day, and she has said so over and over again. Then when I pin her down, she comes back and says, as she does, all she does is pray. If all we can do is pray, then miracles do not exist today. In apostolic days, they did more than pray. They wrought miracles and even raised the dead. Mrs. McPherson says that the reason she does not try to raise the dead is that she is too busy with the living. But Jesus and the apostles were not too busy with the living to raise the dead. They were not too busy, but when they also raised the dead and the very commands of Jesus, was to heal the sick and raise the dead. To raise the dead is the same verse with healing the sick. She says that if the devil is working miracles, now he has changed because that he is doing good. You notice that she has not one time referred to the passage of Scripture I gave in my first speech where I showed that the devil does work miracles. She has not even referred to the passage which says that the devil clothes himself as an angel of light and the devil's ministers and transforms into ministers of righteousness. Why is it she is silent on these passages? Because she herself is the best exemplification of that thing that is in this earth today. The prophet Micah foretold exactly how long miracles should continue in Micah 7 and verse 15. According to the days of coming out of Egypt, until I show unto him the marvelous things. The book of Micah is a prophecy concerning the coming Savior. The place and the birth of Jesus were foretold in Micah 5 and 2. Be thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, thou that be among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is the ruler of Israel. His marvelous work began when he performed the first miracle in Cana of Galilee and when he turned the water into wine. It continued all through his ministry, and his apostles continued after his marvelous work, even doing greater works than he, until the Bible is fully written. And then the marvelous things came to an end. The prophet Micah foretold exactly how long the marvelous things should continue, according to the days that they came out of Egypt. And I'll show you these marvelous things. The Israelites were 40 years in the journey out of Egypt into the land of Palestine. Thus we see that from the first miracle at Cana until the year of AD 70 was almost exactly 40 years, and no man can show that a miracle was performed after AD 70. The miracle ceased when the need for miracles ceased. Now, some people have different ideas about this, that the miracles began at the end of Christ's ministry. Christ did the first miracles, then the apostles will do the others. The miracles ceased when the need for miracles ceased. Miracles were brought to confirm the word preached by Christ and the apostles. When the confirmation was sufficient and the book of books was completed, then the miraculous ceased, except as the devil works miracles in the Bible, as the Bible foretold he would continue to do. Thus, the prophets we are told of in advance how long miracles would continue in the New Testament. We are told how long they would continue in the New Testament. Also told us that the devil will continue to work miracles after the power is taken away from the Lord's people. Yet in the face of all this, McPhersonites and the Holy Rollers go right on claiming the power to work miracles. But there are some people on whom the words of the Bible have no influence, alas. Mrs. McPherson says that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not in this discussion. I wonder why. Does she not claim, and did not all Holy Rollers claim, that they get the power to work miracles by the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If I prove that there is one baptism now, and the Holy Ghost baptism has ceased, or water baptism has ceased, one or the other, can't both exist only one? But just what did she say to my scriptural argument on this? I fail to remember, and if those who read the debate will search, for I think they will find that she left it severely alone. She did say we are living in the dispensation of the Spirit, and that, of course, we are still have the Holy Spirit, and this nobody denies. But it is not the birth of the Spirit, it is not the comfort of the Spirit, it is the leadership of the Spirit that we are discussing. It is the baptism of the Spirit that we are discussing, and the particular feature of the work of the Spirit passed away with the apostolic age. Mrs. McPherson acknowledges that she did get sick and that she was placed in a sanatorium and that she did have a good doctor and nurses, and she contends that the prayer caused the miracle to be wrought in her, and now she is well. Sakes alive, why all that going to the hospital and why the doctors? She recommends that others discard all such and that not one thing except to pray, and that the Lord will miraculously heal in answer to prayer. This is what she recommends to others. Why did she not practice it herself? The promise in Acts 2:38 is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but is remission of sins. The promise to all of them that are far away is that when they repent, they will be saved, and they will obtain the remission of their sins. In the very last part of her speech, she said that the man born blind was for the purpose that God might be glorified, and that neither he nor his parents had sinned. Thank you. So then all sickness and bodily infirmity is not of the devil. Some of these body afflictions are for the glory of God. Thank you. Then healing is not in the atonement. Then to be sick is not evidence of having sinned. Thank you. Then it is not always God's will that the afflicted be healed, as, for instance, Paul was afflicted and the terrible thorn in the flesh and that God refused to remove. Thank you. Thus you have surrendered entirely, gone back on all that you said, such is the benefit of the bait. And they scream and holler, take him out, put him off the platform, take him out. You're a liar. And you come from a number in the congregation. Some people think to make a rough house is the thing to do to win. It may be the best you can do for Mrs. McPherson. Since you think she needs such ruffianism, you are welcome to help her that way. Loud yells and hoots and boos came from Mrs. McPherson's followers at this point, until it was impossible for Dr. Bogard to continue, since his time lacked only about a minute of being out and he stopped speaking. Then the next time we're going to have Mrs. McPherson's closing arguments in our next message. And we stop at page 44. I don't know whether this book is even available today. Many of the books that I have are not in history. I want to say this, that I went to a lot of these healings when I was a little kid. I saw a lot of showmanship. I saw the offering plate pass over and over and over and over again. They just kept on passing it, wanting more money. Marilyn, we were talking about them having a tent meeting down on Union Avenue. They had a lot of tent meetings on Union Avenue. That's where Amy McPherson was, A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, and all of them down there, and many more. There were many of them back then. You still have these people working today. The Four Square Gospel, the Calvary Chapel is the largest, fastest growing. Even Valley Baptist Church, where I was a member at one time, they wanted to grow like Calvary Chapel, so they hired one of Calvary Chapel's song leaders. And that's where we get the 7-11. We say seven words 11 times. The praise music. That's where it came from at this time. People love that. It's uplifting in many ways, but is hypnotic also. I love the old gospel songs. I love the old Rock of Ages. I love the old Rugged Cross. I love those kind of songs. I just love them. At Calvary. These are the wonderful songs I grew up with. I saw all the others. I saw all the emotionalism. In true religion, there is emotion. In false religion, there's a lot of emotion. In true religion, one thing, when you know you're saved, there's a great joy in that. That knowledge produces joy. Emotion produces joy. Talking in tongues is one of the most heightened experiences you can have. Slaying in the Spirit, all of these things that are so popular and prevalent in these churches. God says that He wants things done peaceably and in order. I think that's the way it should be. Our Father, we send this message out for Your honor and glory. Thank You for all the blessings You give us. Thank You for the ability to do these messages, Father. Just help me get them out. And I know there's only a couple more that I need to do, and we'll have this set of messages done, and thank You for allowing me to do it. Please forgive me where I fail You, and use Your messages wherever they go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.